Hey Claude, this is Aaron Zim calling.
Oh, hi Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You have some time to talk to me?
Oh, yes I do.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask you how you came to be interested in sounds and came to make field recordings.
There was a time when I wasn't interested in field recording much at all, actually. I had been introduced to people that were working in that area probably in the middle portion of the 80s, early portion of the 90s. I used to be a college radio DJ. And I used to actually put out electronic music on a small label that I ran. We only released about 8 records, but I had a number of people from Germany that were people that were working with field recordings, and they were sending me recordings of their work, and I was always quite intrigued by it, but I never had quite the ear for it back then. Most of my interest in sound recording has come from interest in electronic music. I don't have any traditional schooling in electronic music, but I've always been interested in synthesizers and things of that nature. And that just kind of snowballed, was just advancing, taking things one step. And there was one point in my life when I was like a gadget collector. And with my interest in field recordings, as that kind of increased, my interest in gadgets decreased. I no longer obtain or buy a lot of gear, but I'm more interested in the sparseness of what you can do with field recording with very little equipment, so that's very appealing to me.
Are there aspects of the recordings themselves that you find are engendering that attitude of yours? Is there something about the way they sound or the way that we perceive them that makes you want to leave them pristine or open?
Probably the most appealing types of field recordings to me are those that have a gritty kind of quality. I do appreciate those who do fine-tune them, tweak them a bit digitally, and overlay their own sounds, and I've done that in the past as well. But as time goes on, I become more and more interested in those that have a rougher, grainier quality, those that may be even recorded on things as low-tech devices. You know, like I always love the added nice quality on audio cassette, not as clear a representation of that area. There's something else added.
Now, when you're listening to that kind of recording, are you listening to it as music? Are you listening to it with a sense of its musicality or for its sonority? Or are you listening to it really for something else, something that you don't listen to music for?
I would say it's something that I don't listen to music for. I'm interested in making field recordings myself recently just for the amount of information you can obtain about a specific area. Almost a collection of data, you know, say the idea of interviewing people. I kind of look at it along the same lines, interviewing someone, collecting sounds at the site. We piece them all together. I'm interested in the idea of doing field recordings in addition to other things. The recording can give you as much information about a particular site or an area as a photograph can, you know, maybe even more.
Certainly. So if a picture is worth 1,000 words, what is a recording worth? Now, in this project that you did, The Romance of the Hydrograph, obviously you heavily used field recordings. Have you done any other work like that?
No, that was actually the first thing that I'd ever done that was like that, but I released a CD on a label in Holland called Stahlplatt in 97. It was called Trans Species Action, and it was a CD that had a lot of field recordings, but most of them were heavily manipulated and used to construct pieces, you know, like sound pieces, where field recordings were the basic source material. That was the first venture into that area. Before that, my interest was primarily in insect recordings, in insects and traffic and human-made sounds, and combining the two in such a way where all of them had lost their previous qualities, but certain elements were still there.
Do you think that there's something that's similar between those two subject matters and the way that they sound?
Oh, yes, mainly the patterns. I had read some writings by a fellow named Philip S. Callahan. He was interested in the idea of insects communicating with each other through telepathy. He had done research about insects alongside of highway systems where the insects were responding to the traffic patterns. The patterns were having an impact on when they made sounds and the sounds that they actually made. So when I read that, it was very fascinating. I started to do my own experiments, and even though I'm not a scientist, everyone's essentially their own natural scientist. You know, they
right.
collect information. Everyone could do their own research. They don't necessarily have to have the schooling to do research in ways that they're unfamiliar, but just the idea of bits of information here and there and putting it all together and making some sense of it. That's what I was doing, was just making some field recordings in some rural areas, and then of course recording insects in densely urban areas, looking at them together and comparing them, doing recordings in the same sites. That was something that really got me interested in pursuing field recording more seriously.
Have you heard that songbirds are learning the sounds of cell phones?
Really?
Yeah, that's a little bit of data. It popped up on the Nature Recorders list and, of course, elicited a lot of interest. Now, I've mentioned a couple times this work that you've done called The Romance of the Hydrograph, and I am fortunate enough to have a copy of it, but I'm guessing that most of our listeners do not. So I was hoping you could describe for people what this work is, what it comprises as a piece of documentation, and tell us how the work came about and what led you to do this project in the way that you did it.
What led me to work on this project was, first of all, I'm an avid cyclist. I cycle around different areas here in Southern California. I was living in Irvine. I was going to graduate school at the University of California, Irvine, and I would daily bike along this bike path that went along the San Diego Creek, which is a small creek that empties into the Newport Bay watershed, actually into the Newport Bay. It's a tiny little creek that has numerous problems with it. It's an area that tends farming during the past 150 years, and it's heavily contaminated, but it's in a very, Irvine's kind of a very structured environment, so it's almost completely overlooked some of the problems that are with it. So I started to bike along this path, and then I started to actually go into the creek bed itself and record the areas during certain times of day for about a year, mainly through a number of different seasons, during rainy seasons, during very dry summers, and most of the times I would just walk as I was actually recording, so there wasn't really any interest to leave myself out of the recordings as well, because I was recording myself in the areas as well as all of the other sounds and things that would happen while I was there during that period of time. And so it was put together over a period of about a year. So there was about 40 or 50 hours of field recordings that were edited down to about an hour. So there was a lot that was thrown out. And then it was just pulled all together into a small booklet that had information about the field recordings, about the whole process of doing it, and also thinking about the area, certain ways to harvest and store water underground, just in the idea of aquifer recharge and how those things kind of relate to these sounds. So tying a lot of different things together, trying to pull them together, don't know if this successfully, but attempting to.
Hydrograph in the title, is that a technical term?
Yes, a hydrograph is a graph that shows the flow of water over a period of time. It was a term that I really liked, found it appropriate for the title.
Let's take a listen to a section of Hydro Radio from The Romance of the Hydrograph. The work on the CD is not just straight recordings. It has been distilled and combined down. When you were doing that process of distillation, what was really in your mind? Were you attempting to capture the essence of the place? Were you following very rigorous process to arrive at the compositions that you did, or was it a process of intuition?
Well, I was interested in using durations. Say, for example, if I recorded an area for a period of 12 minutes, I would make notes. I believe if you looked in the book, there's small charts. They look like notation for some type of composition. I would record a site over a particular period of time, and then I would analyze the site by listening to it and break it down, what sounds happened during what periods of time, and they'd be represented by certain symbols. And I just worked on these in small graph paper just to give me some elements to work with to figure out what I was going to do with them. And my original plan was to remove the field recordings totally and just use those template elements of what happened during certain time to actually determine when I was going to trigger other sounds, possibly electronic sounds, other sounds. And then I eventually decided to leave the field recordings in there The first attempts at recording had a lot of altered sounds, and there was a good mixture of the field recordings and then my own sounds that I would add to these elements, you know, add a certain mid-range sounds where there was a mid-range possibly missing, or emphasize a higher frequency to occupy an area missing on the field recording. Then over the period of a year, I altered them less and less towards the whole last 6 months were unaltered field recordings. So if you listen to the hydro radio over time, the recordings become less and less processed. There's less and less done with them over time, and some of them are just pretty much straight.
There is a structure behind it. It sounds like a very rich structure, but you also were bringing an aesthetic sensibility to bear in the process of the construction. Now, did you present this?
It was aired on the 3rd International Audio Festival, based out of Chicago, WBEZ, I believe.
The 3rd Coast Festival?
Yes, it was the 3rd Coast. They played it. They had a 3-hour special. They played it. A number of European stations played it. I was very interested in having some place in Southern California that was interested in broadcasting it, because I wanted to have it broadcast in the place that it was about. It's difficult to understand or receive it for people living in other locations, but people were curious. All around the world, there's people that have an interest in Los Angeles or Southern California, because to them, it seems to be this magic place of Hollywood. Maybe that was why some people were interested in giving it a listen. I see it as a serious document of a place during a particular period of time, showing how something as basic as a waterway, even a modified waterway, a channelized creek, can have some kind of impact on an individual.
As you listen to this several years later, how do you find yourself responding to the work that you were doing then?
Listening to it now, I think there would probably be a lot of different things that I would pick out of it. I think it would definitely have a different type of impact on me, but I don't know how I'd be able to measure that.
And what kind of work are you doing now?
I haven't been doing much work involving audio over the past year. I'm working on something called Moisture, which is a project where people are going to be harvesting moisture and dew out in the Mojave Desert in the end of October, but I'm hoping to capture some elements of that event on audio. Within about a month, I'm planning to do a derive, like a situationist drift through areas of the San Fernando Valley that have been passed over or leapfrogged, a middlescape area, I guess you could say, that's been overlooked. The San Fernando Valley is a very densely packed suburban area right now, and it's a seller's market. Every house gobbled up within seconds. I'm sure there's similar locations up there in Northern California. It's an area that's been very alien to me, and it's like America's quintessential suburb in a way. So many people know the San Fernando Valley. So we're working on a project where we're going to somehow collect information in this area during a period of a couple of days. Collect photographs, audio recordings, and maybe even snippets of interviews as well. But with no particular plan in mind and not any set points that we're actually going to want or drift to, I'm sure that once everything's collected and we're looking at it all, it may come to us on how it could be used, if any of it's useful at all. But of course, the experiential element of it is also very important to us, just to actually do the event. If the materials collected get used, that's just a bonus. It is the intention in the back of our mind, but just the whole idea of being there. Sometimes just the act of recording in the field is also something that many people don't even really consider, even though, of course, people are actually hearing the results.
People wanted to hear hydro radio. Is there anywhere they can do that, or that they will be able to do that?
As far as the hydro radio work, they would be able to obtain copies from me. I have a few left. I still have some. There was only about 100 of those made on the limited edition books. People could write or contact me, 843 South Mariposa, and that's number 17. That is Los Angeles, California, 90005.
Great. I really want to thank you for taking time to share your work with us, and we'll be looking forward to what comes next.
Well, great. Well, thank you again for involving me with this.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.